You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the Golf Podcast here with William Hill, ahead of the final major championship of the season. It is, of course, the US PGA Championship. Dave Kellner here alongside Dave Tindall. This is going to be an abridged version of the Golf Podcast because we've just done 40 minutes, tried to save it, and lost it. So we're going to do a slightly shorter version here.
It's brilliant as well.
It was fantastic. It was the best podcast we've ever done. Unfortunately, it's been lost. It's in the ether somewhere. So we won't talk about the golf course, Quail Hollow. We'll go straight into the tips. Rory McIlroy is the 7-1 favourite here with William Hill. Jordan Spieth 9-1. Hideki Matsuyama 11-1. Dustin Johnson is 12-1. Ricky Fowler 16s, 25-1. And bigger the remainder. 7,600-yard golf course. Bermuda greens. Long. It's going to be wet. Are we looking at the bombers?
Definitely so. Absolutely. That's. I think it's unanimous, isn't it? Certainly in the podcast circle.
Yes.
Here that. We are going to go for the bombers, so I shall kick off. Or do you want to kick off?
I'll kick off with your first bomber. Yeah, I've got three picks. We're going to hear from Mike Grenham later on in the podcast as well. I'm going with Henrik Stenson this week as my first pick at 50-1.
Big price, isn't it?
Sticks out like a sore thumb, doesn't it, in that market, in my opinion. And I can't leave him out of the equation despite the poor course form. He's not got a good record at Quail Hollow, but I do think it will benefit him that the rough is reportedly down, which I think is a positive for Stenson. He will have to pull driver at this golf course more than he would like, I think. But because the rough is down and it's soft fairways, it's going to be playing wider than usual. And you look at his form at this time of year. He's placed in 5 of the last 7 USPGA Championships, which is an incredible strike rate. And he's in respectable form as well. 11th in the Open Championship. Finished in a tie for 17th at Firestone last week, where his play got better as the week went on, particularly his iron play. And I think 50-1 underestimates his chance grossly.
Yeah, I think he's well known for playing the best golf, isn't he, in the second half of the year. So that kind of explains away some of his poor previous form at Quail Hollow, which is normally in May time, isn't it? So
yes.
Yeah, this time of year, Henrik Stenson at 50-1 in a major, absolutely.
You fire off then. Who's your headline selection?
Yes, fairly obvious here, really. Hideki Matsuyama. I just think he's the hot hand in golf now after that brilliant 61 to win the WGC Bridgestone. And we've seen with him before, when he gets hot, he stays hot. Had a great run at the back end of last year where he won, I think he won 3 and drew 2. Football season's coming,
mode.
Folks. Yeah. He had 5 events where he had 3 wins and 2 seconds, so really put it together. The putter was hot. Everything was hot about him. Was just flowing with confidence. And that sequence included a WGC win. I mean, he's now won 2 WGCs, Dave, by 5 shots. I mean, that is some going. Mm. I did note that Dustin Johnson won 2 WGCs and then a major. So I think it's a nice way to progress to the next level. And Hideki has now got 2 himself. So he's going to kick on. He's good in the majors anyway. He's had 6 top tens. Runner-up in the US Open on the last major to be played on US soil. And I just think, even though the 11-1, you can talk a lot about that being a bit, oh dear. But I just think he's going to win. And unless it was a tremendously off-put in price, I wasn't going to be swayed. So Hideki Matsuyama, I mean, he's just a fantastic golfer. I think it's his time.
11-1, Hideki Matsuyama. There was much debate on the previous podcast about why I didn't think he was such a good price, but we'll leave it there for the time being.
When we release the DVD extras of this.
I'm going with Patrick Rogers as my second selection here at 200-1. My final two picks are both 200-1. And he's a player that could obviously completely bomb out Rogers, but everyone in his amateur days, he was at Stanford, wasn't he, with Tiger Woods went to school. It was Stanford, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's matched, didn't he, all those Tiger records, which was unbelievable. But he's just not obviously not kicked on yet.
No, yet. The optimum word there. He finished second on debut at Quail Hollow back in 2015. That was on his first start at Quail Hollow, and he's clearly a very talented individual that's yet to harness that power, really. He goes after everything full throttle. But I think a track like this really plays to his strengths. He ranks 13th on tour in driving distance and has already shown his strength on a long, tough golf course this season when he finished 4th at Torrey Pines behind John Rahm, another who I think will go well this week. And not a major surprise to see him fail to fire in his last start on the back of a runner-up finish at the John Deere. Big risk he'll bomb out, but big reward if he doesn't at 200-1.
Yeah, jolly good. I will go with a more familiar name, and there's a sort of Stenson-esque appeal to his price here. Jason Day at 30-1.
Yes.
Obviously former world number one. And in the last two editions of this tournament, he's got a win and a second, so clearly loves the USPGA. I think he's always loved the USPGA. Was 10th on his debut. 4 top 10s in 7 USPGA starts. So it is an event that, whether it's the courses, whether it's the time of year, but Day does seem to get it together. Obviously, he's 30-1 for a reason. It's because he's just been a little bit off. But I don't think too far off. 24th at Bridgestone, 27th at the Open Championship. Mm. I think he's getting there. And I think this course, we've said it suits bombers. He can just thrash away with the driver. And then hopefully his iron play, which you said on the other podcast, you a 10-minute monologue on the other podcast about his iron play. I'm glad that's gone. Yeah, every cloud and
maybe
all
this
that.
Podcast is better.
Yeah, in many ways. So Day, I think he is a perfect fit for this court. Boom it off the tee, and then he can use his short game skills, which are magical when they're really on.
Yeah,
can seem to get it up and down from anywhere. To go on and put in a big effort. It's just a good course for him. We do know that it's not just a theoretical guess, because he has played this twice in the past and done pretty well. He was 9th in 2012. And 22nd in 2010. There is only two efforts. Obviously, there's been course changes, which we talked about in depth on the other podcast, that old thing. But it was a bit dull, wasn't it?
It was a bit dull.
That was the worst bit.
That was the worst bit, definitely.
Yeah, so we've got to be grateful that that's gone. But the bottom line is Day has shown some good stuff on this course, and he's just brilliant in this event. Put it together, 30-1 about a guy who, well, this time last year, you could have... If we'd been playing predict the price for next year's USPGA, he could have been 12s, couldn't he?
Oh, easily. Even shorter, perhaps. Yeah. So Jason Day at 30-1. Dave's second pick. That's your final pick, isn't it, in the outright
markets?
In this
outright section, yes.
I'm going with Keegan Bradley as my final pick. A point each way. Again, 200-1, Keegan Bradley, which I think is a fantastic price here. Former USPGA champion. Drives the ball really well. Ranks 6th in strokes gained off the tee, which can only help around a tough driving layout like this, rounding nicely into form as well. Maybe the issue is with the putter, but that's been definitely factored into this price. He's made his last 5 cuts, Bradley, with some really high-quality finishes as well. Tied 8th at the Travelers, tied 5th at the Quicken Loans, and in his last start in Canada, he tied for 14th. The price is way too big, Mr. Tindall. 200-1.
It's a strange one. You could look down it and just presume he's not qualified or something, and then to suddenly see him, oh, he's there at 200. So yeah, it is a big price for a guy who plays a sort of golf I think you'll need to this week.
Indeed. So 200-1 is the price on Keegan Bradley. Thankfully, we've got Mike Grenham with us on the podcast. He is away at the moment, but he took time out to speak to us. So here's Mike. Mike, thank you, first of all, for taking time out on holiday to be on the podcast. It's good to have you with us for a major championship week. Mike, good to have you on the podcast.
Good to be here, Dave, for a major week always. Looking forward to it.
And we were talking earlier, Mike, about the golf course. Par 71 now, 7,600 yards. And conditions in the lead-up and supposedly during the tournament are going to be... It's going to be pretty wet, so we were looking at lens. I was anyway.
I agree totally, Dave. I'm not saying that some shorter players can't contend. They clearly can. But yeah, I've gone for players who can get it out there a bit. That's what interests me in these wet conditions. At a course where long hitters are always somewhat favoured.
How many bets have you got, Mike?
Dave, I've got 2 bets, and I'll crack on with them because you guys have done all the analysis already. I'm going for two guys that are batting in the US Open, actually. I'm going for Justin Thomas and Thomas Peters. Both of them can hit it a long way. Thomas Justin Thomas was seventh here on debut a couple of years ago. Hasn't played so well since the US Open, but the British Open and a couple of events probably weren't as suitable as this one will be for him. I think Quail Hollow plays to his strengths. He'll drive it, then it's hitting the greens in the right number. Long drivers then hitting that strokes gained approaching the greens. Mm-hmm. That is very important. I think he's a good price there. He's drifted because of some moderate displays and events that probably wouldn't be quite right for him compared to this. And he played well after the first round at the weekend in Firestone. He played much better. A very average to poor first round, but better for that. Peters, on the other hand, played great at Firestone until the final round, where he dropped off a little bit. I backed Peters on the post here, I have to say, so I'm not quite as keen at tickets as I was at bigger prices a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I'm going to include him for half a point each way. Just to say that I also strongly considered particularly Brooks Koepka and John Rahm. I think they've got big credentials here. But the market leaders are so strong in this event, Dave, that I think you need a little bit of value to tempt you in. So Koepka and Rahm were very much on my mind. But just at the prices, particularly Justin Thomas and also Thomas Peters, they're the two that I'm going to lead with. Might have little savers on the two I've just mentioned.
Very good. And having tried to record this before, Mike, with it cutting out continually, that was perfect. It didn't cut out once there, which is good news. So Justin Thomas... Go on.
Can I just mention then, Dave, a couple of outsiders?
Please do.
I think Bill Haas can play well here because his dad's a member here and he's surely sooner or later going to contend in a major. So he's a very big price for an outsider. Two others at massive prices. Danny Lee, some good form at Quail Hollow. Might not be quite long enough this week, but I could see him playing well.
Mm.
And Patrick Rogers, who I think you'd like a little bit yourself. I think those guys all can get it out there. They'd probably be my outsiders.
I'm glad you mentioned Patrick Rogers because I've gone for him as one of my main picks at 200-1, Mike. So I like that, Rogers at 200s. Big price. I mean, he could easily bomb out because he's been volatile, hasn't he? But you look at a course that's suited for him. He's finished second here on debut, didn't he, at Quail Hollow? So at 200-1 could be a good price. Just a quick word, Mike, on the market leaders very quickly before you leave us. McIlroy, Spieth and Matsuyama now in that bracket as well, having been very well backed. Did you think McIlroy and Spieth and Matsuyama all to a certain extent just a little bit too short?
I did, Dave, and if I was to pick anyone out of the top four in the market, it'd be the guy that you haven't mentioned. I think Dustin Johnson could play very well here. People are forgetting it wasn't that long ago, Birthday, where he had that monster round and looked like the best player in the world again. Mm. So I think he's just out to about 12-1.
Yeah.
That top four is very strong at this course. So McIlroy loved it here, wet ground. Matsuyama, brilliant at the weekend. That's why it's a little bit of a tricky event. Spieth playing great. But if I was to pick one of those market leaders, believe it or not, I would go for Dustin Johnson. I think his length could be very important here.
Okay, very good. Dustin Johnson, 12-1. Mike's two picks, Justin Thomas at 45-1 and Thomas Peters at 50-1. Mike, enjoy the rest of your holiday. I know you're back to watch the action at the weekend and we'll...
I'm back at the weekend, Dave. And I'm guessing that there'll be push-outs maybe on the prizes tomorrow, Mike. So those two might on Wednesday, Mike, just a little bit, my two picks. But good luck with your picks and Dave Tindall's as well. And let's hope we get a result for the listeners.
Thank you, Mike, and we'll catch up shortly. Now, we've got the outright selections out of the way. The two Thomases for Mr. Grenham. He's going with Thomas Peters and Justin Thomas.
I agree with Mike. It fits in with the Bombers there. So two Bombers who know how to win. Yeah, good bets those.
Yeah, like them 45-1 and 50-1 respectively. Just before we move on to the supporting markets, any others you want to mention very quickly?
Yeah, I think I was very close to putting up Ricky Fowler at 16-1. I think it'll be classic who don't you want to win material. I guess because I'm a bit loaded up on Matsuyama at the front of the market, Fowler kind of falls away slightly there. But he is a perfect fit for this event, played a lot for this course. Obviously, it was the scene of his first ever PGA Tour win, Ricky Fowler, so lots of happy memories there. And he's been really good in the majors this year. Just that creeping little doubts that he needs to sort of get over the line. Yeah,
that 76 on a Sunday or something like that. I liked a couple at the head of the market. Brooks Koepka and John Rahm really stood out to me.
Yeah.
25-1 and 28-1 respectively. I mean, that major championship record that Brooks Koepka has.
Silly, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. Last four major championships, tied fourth, tied 11th, a win, then had a big break and still managed to finish tied sixth at Birkdale. Placed in the last two PGA championships, finished top 25 in 9 of the last 10 majors now, which is ridiculous. So 25-1 for Koepka. And I think if Rahm is going to step up to the plate this season, this was the most likely venue for him.
I guess so. I mean, he's played 7 majors and not had a top 20 yet, which is a bit of a surprise if you'd following the arc of his career and how well he's done on the regular events. I mean, you're tipping Keegan Bradley won his first ever major, so it is possible to start fast in these. But Rahm's just take a little bit of time. Maybe he's had more focus on him. He's not had a free ride. But I think this week he's probably under the least pressure of the four, isn't he? I think he was a big talking horse, wasn't he, at the Masters? And then because he's kept, and he won the Irish Open, so people looking to him at the Open. But in this one, he's probably the biggest price as well, isn't he? He's gone off that.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I think he'll go well.
28-1 for John Rahm. Brooks Koepka 25-1 in the betting. Let's move on to those supporting markets now. And I've got a couple of bets in the supporting markets.
Yeah, me too.
Go on, you go first.
Yeah, we haven't really, I've lost track of what we've said in each podcast, but Rory McIlroy, I can't really pull the trigger at 7-1. I just think he's a bit short. But with him, there's definitely that scenario where if he is on, he's going to be so on.
Yes.
And he might just run away with this because he's a 2-time winner at Quail Hollow. If you remember the first time, he was qualified right on the cut line and then came all the way through to win. Won here again. I think he's only been outside the top 10 once in about 6 starts here. So he loves this course. So what can we do with that rather than take 7-1? If you go to hashtag your odds, we've got a couple of Rory specials there. Rory McIlroy to win the USPGA by at least 3 shots. That's 25-1.
Yep.
We've also got Rory McIlroy to win by 5 or more shots at 40-1. Now, Rory's got 4 major wins. The first 2 of those were by 8 shots. So it shows that if he gets it going, he can not just get over the line, he can sprint clear of the field. So I'm going to play that. I'm going to play half a point on each of those, 25s and 40s. It just seems a more sort of palatable way to cash in on Rory. Because if you've not backed him at 7s, and you suddenly see him go 6 clear, you go, oh no, that was so obvious, even though it's a short price. But this way, you can cheer that on.
Yeah, 25-1 and 40-1 respectively. Hashtag your odds in operation for the final major championship of the season. Tweet your bet to @WilliamHill using the hashtag your odds. And we are paying 5 places on each way bets as well for the PGA Championship. And my first bet in the supporting markets comes in the top continental European market. Admittedly, this is competitive. I've tipped Stenson in the outright and mentioned favourably
John Rahm
as well, 11-4 and 5-1 respectively. But
Mike's gone for Peters.
And Mike's gone for Peters as well. But we've got 4 places in this market. So I'm going each way with Alexander Levy at 25-1. We talked prior to the Porsche European Open about what sort of golf course Alexander Levy likes. Long golf course, wet golf course, where he can just wield the driver. And this is the one, isn't it, for him? So it plays into his strengths. He comes into this championship on the back of that runner-up finish as well. So I think 25-1, Alexander Levy is a good price in that market. So I'm playing him each way with 4 places on offer.
I think there's a few there. We've sort of mentioned some of the ones who are going to challenge him. But Sergio maybe isn't quite at it. I think he's had his lovely year already. Maybe he's not going to quite be there. Cabrera Bayo was really off the boil, wasn't he, last week? And perhaps this isn't his course.
Same applies to Alexander Noren to a certain extent. Maybe not his track.
Yeah, and Molinari's just got a shocking record in the majors. So I think if Levy has a good week, he can run past some of these.
Hopefully. 4 places on offer. Alexander Levy, 25-1 at a point each way in that market. Dave, you're back chomping at the hashtag your odds bit here.
Yeah, one. It's almost like I came up with it myself, but I didn't, because it's got 2 of the players I really like and another 2 who I would certainly give favourable mentions to. So this bet, this is a curiosity shop of a bet, but there it is. at 150-1, Daniel Berger, Zach Johnson, Kevin Chappell and Danny Lee all to place in the top 20, brackets including ties. And
yes.
That could be crucial, so
could
it's worth just noting that. Daniel Berger, I think, has got a great chance this week. He's been in brilliant form. He's a winner this year, quite recently as well. Played lots of good golf since. Top 20 at Bridgestone last week, where he just kept the engine running nicely and gives it a good old biff off the tee. Likes Bermuda greens. He's a Florida guy. So I think he's going to finish nicely. Anything in the top 20 is good enough for this bet, but I think he'll do better than that. Maybe a decent top 10 bet as well.
Yeah.
Kevin Chappell, top 25 in driving distance. Another winner this year. Won in Texas. And again, he played some good golf last week as well. He's got a good record on the majors. If you remember when Rory won at Congressional on a long, wet course, which is the deal this week. Mm. Well, Kevin Chappell was third there, so that is shows he can play that style of golf. He was also 10th in the following year's US Open. Tied 7th at Augusta this year. Seems to really do well in the majors. So Chappell, he can get in the top 20. Zach Johnson plays some great stuff at Bridgestone. Two-time major winner, so he doesn't need to be, you know, talked up in terms of can he play the majors. Brilliant major player. So another who can fulfil that requirement. Then the one that you might think, well, is he going to ruin it for us? I don't, maybe not. Danny Lee's got 4 top tens in his last 9 starts on tour. And at this course, last 2 efforts at Quail Hollow, 9th and 13th,
yep.
Which would obviously do the trick for this bet. I think 4 of them together, and I, honestly, it wasn't me who came up with this, but whoever it is, well done, because we're getting 150-1.
Very good. Hashtag your odds. Berger, Johnson, that's Zach Johnson, Kevin Chappell and Danny Lee all to place in the top 20, 150-1. My other bet comes in the top Australasian player. If you want a bet that's landed in the last 2 major championships, Mark Leishman to be the top Australasian player. I like the price at 9-2. Admittedly, Dave, you've gone for Jason Day, but you can see that he takes a big chunk out of this market, yeah. Given his 6-4. Adam Scott doesn't put well enough to compete anywhere. 2-1 he is. Mark Leishman's 9-2. Definitely elevated his game this season. Winner on tour. Failed to fire last week at Firestone, but prior to that, he'd finished 5th at the Quicken Loans and 6th in the Open Championship. The others, Danny Lee, a little bit short off the tee for me this week, given the prevailing conditions.
But yeah, he can win my bet and your bet.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Scott Henn, not a major championship performer. Cameron Smith in poor form. Leishman stands out. Given he's landed this bet in the last 2 majors, I thought 9-2 was good. So I'll put a point win on Mark Leishman to be the top Australasian player in the PGA Championship at 9-2. Who's the player you don't want to win then?
I think I said Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
I think he's the one. But I'm kind of loading up on Hideki at the front end, so he's taken my stakes there.
I'm torn between Brooks Koepka and John Rahm as the man that I don't want to win.
They'd be my other two that I'd go, ugh.
And I think with that major championship record, Brooks Koepka just stands alone there.
Yeah.
So he'd be the player I don't want to win who came closest without quite making the cut at 25-1. Dave, thank you. Deja vu, but thank you. Recap your selections very quickly.
Okay. Since the last podcast we did failed, I've got even more confident about Matsuyama in those 20 minutes. I'm going to put 3 points at 11-1.
Okay.
I think it was niggling to me that 2 wasn't enough. So
yeah.
3 points win at 11-1, Hideki Matsuyama. A point each way, Jason Day at 30-1. That's a good each way price. And then my 2 specials. So Rory to win by 3 or more at 25s and Rory to win by 5 or more at 40s.
Yep.
Half a point each on those.
Yep.
And then finally that strange one, Berger, Chappell, Zach Johnson and Danny Lee, all to finish in the top 20 and ties at 150-1, half a point on that as well.
I've got quite a lot of stakes this week, actually. I'm going a point each way on my first 2 selections, Henrik Stenson and Patrick Rogers and Keegan Bradley, in fact. So a point each way on all 3 of those at 50s and 200-1, Bradley and Rogers, respectively. And 1 point each way, Alex Levy, top continental European at 25s. And a point win, Mark Leishman, to be the top Australasian at 9-2. Dave, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike, who chipped in as well. If you want to follow any of us on Twitter, please do, at Dave Tindall Golf, at M. Grenham, at D. Kellner. Get your bets on for the PGA Championship here with William Hill. And remember, We often push prices out here with William Hill on a Wednesday morning of a major championship. So maybe just hold fire until Wednesday morning. You might get a bigger price on the player you fancy.
Yeah, and I'll be on William Hill in-play radio on Thursday night with Pete Farris to talk you through the best in-play bets there. So I'm looking forward to that. And also be on that same station on Sunday night to talk you through to the final round as well.
Make sure you tune into that. Should be good fun. In-play radio live from 6:30 on Thursday night. Make sure you join Dave Tindall and Pete Farris, who loves his golf as well. Thank you, everyone, for bearing with us and tuning into the golf podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll be back with a debrief next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.